All right, so we have 4th of July coming up, and then we have, shall we say, Independence Day. Can you believe it? We're going to be 249 years old. Do you know the average age of a country, a nation? 250. And so we're right there. Let's pray that we at least hit 251 so we can say we broke the average. Amen. It'll be good. But 4th of July, and then today we have graduates that are graduating high school and college and just getting ready to, for some, you are moving into independence. And if dad and mom will let go, and so that'd be good. And I thought, you know, I wanted to be in James today because we want to get through James before everyone turns 100. Amen. And I thought, okay, here's the thing. I want to be in. You guys are going to love this, or not? Just ride the ride. I want to preach out of James, and I want to acknowledge Independence Day, and I want to acknowledge graduates. And I want to do all of that in one sermon. Appreciate the faith there, brother. So I told my wife, I said, man, do I preach on, because last week's sermon was titled Fatal Faith, right? And I'm like, man, I want to finish up James, or at least that portion, that verse. And, but I want to talk about Independence Day. And, so I titled today's sermon, Freedom Faith. And, that way I can still hang in there. Amen. And I'm actually going to cover all three, Johnny, because I want to impress you. And, so as I was going through this, because, you know, how important is it, on independence, on freedom? And I think about our country coming up on 250 years old, and of course, you know, next year. And I realized as I was researching nations, and the average span of a nation is 250 years. And the whole reason that nations usually fell is because they lost their moral identity. Rome fell because it lost its moral compass, if you will. And I was looking at what we are, where we are, and we have lost our moral compass. And why did Rome lose their moral compass? Well, they lost their moral compass because of influence of illegals that came into their country. Listen, this has been going on forever and ever and ever and ever. And so I'm not slamming anything. I'm just simply giving you history. And so you know, give me grace if you don't like some terminology that I use. But the, you know, they would bring in, or where we say aliens, right? Not Martian aliens, but illegal aliens. And so Rome allowed a massive influx of people to come into their country. And when that happened, they lost their moral compass. They lost their identity. You know, America was founded on Jesus Christ, on the gospel. That's why Christopher Columbus set out to find a new land that that land could worship freely Jesus Christ, because at the time in Europe, they were not allowed. It was a state religion, and you had to follow the state's religion, and it was very controlling, and you know, it dominated people's lives, and there was really no freedom in that. And so they set out, they find America and establish America, and our founding fathers established it on the word of God, because all men are created equal and therefore have the rights that God has given them. And one of those rights is freedom of religion. And with that freedom came a tremendous cost, because, you know, listen, freedom is not free. And I used to tell people all the time that if you want to see the cost of freedom, just go down and look on the wall, because the names are written on the wall. And it took people's lives, and many, many, many sacrificed for the freedoms that we have enjoyed for, 249 years, if you will. And so what happened is we gained independence and we became a nation that was the greatest and still is the greatest nation that has ever existed because it was founded on Jesus Christ. And so as we look at that and we think about it, and I thought, you know, just like we've gained independence in our nation, and what's happening? Well, we have a influx of people that is changing our moral compass. And when you have that, the people start losing sight of how we became so great and the freedoms that we got to exercise and the independence and what made us independent. And what made us independent was because everything was founded on the Word of God. Now, I know people want to erase that history, but you cannot eradicate truth. And yet so many are trying to do that. And then, so they thought, okay, we can't convince people that there's no God. So what we will do is we will just convince them that their God is wrong. Jesus is wrong. Now, every other God is acceptable. Why? Well, because every other God is insignificant, meaning that every other God has never done anything but require from people, taken from people, and have never given them anything. And it doesn't matter what religion you're talking about. Every religion is going to send all those people to hell. And you say, you're going to tell me, Pastor, that because there's 4,500, just shy of 4,500 different religions in the world, and you're going to tell me that all of those people are wrong? No, they're not all wrong. Only the ones that don't believe in Jesus. Those are the ones that are wrong. Because what we understand is that there's two religions, and the two religions, I mean, I know we claim all different kinds, but there is not, there's not almost 4,500 different religions. There are two religions, and it is either humanism or Christianity, meaning that it is either man's way or God's way. And that's it. And then they attach all this other stuff to it to complicate it and confuse it. And the only thing that's not complicated and doesn't change is the Word of God. Now, man's way has changed multitudes of times. That's why we have almost 4,500 different religions. And every one of them puts you in bondage, except for Christianity. And so we build this country on the Word of God, the things of God, and it has been steadfast, and we have been steadfast up until the last 20 years. And in the last 20 years, we have allowed people to come in and convince us as a country that we are wrong, that we are prejudiced, that we're bigoted, that we're racist, fill in the blank. And people started making adjustments to their life to fit the lie, including churches, Christians. And they started compromising truth for a lie. And then what happened is we started going into prison. Physically, our country has so many laws on the books, they don't even know all the laws. They just keep writing more laws. But if we would adhere to the laws we actually had, we wouldn't need more laws, and we wouldn't have a moral dilemma in our country right now if we'd have just adhered to the laws that were on the books. But we didn't do that. And of course, Satan's the prince and the power of the air. So his whole agenda is to destroy any country that would support God, Jesus specifically, and to destroy the country and to destroy the people. And so we see a full-on attack on America on every facet. What I wanted to talk about today was freedom faith, because this freedom faith is what gave us our country. This freedom faith is also what's going to give our graduates independence, if you will, freedom. Because some of you, you're graduating, you're getting ready to go out, and the rest of you, you're sitting here and you're out, or you're thinking about going out, you're getting ready to graduate, whatever that looks like. and you're going to be challenged. Your faith is going to be challenged. Your belief is going to be challenged. Is Jesus really the Son of God? Kind of like Satan. What did Satan say? Satan looked at Eve and Eve said, did God really say? And then he took all of that, twisted it up, and then here we are today. And I have fun blaming women because I'm like, oh, you women, look, if Eve started this, if she wouldn't ate that apple or fruit or whatever it was, we just know it was a fruit. We don't know it was an apple. But then I got to go, oh, Adam, you knew the truth. God told you specifically. And you jumped in with all fours and joined in the sin and destroyed humanity as well. Because that's what we do, right? This pride, this desire to be something, to have something. Look, Eve looked at the tree and she saw that it was good. It was attractive. And she could be like God. And so she took of the fruit and she ate it. And then Adam, who was with her, took of the fruit and ate it. And that moment, they both died. Now, not physically, but spiritually, they died. And Satan wasn't wrong. Satan was absolutely right because Satan said, you will be like God. And then what most people forget and what Eve didn't hear was the rest of the sentence. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. But all she heard was, you will be like God. And so many of us, we just want to be like God, or we want to be a God, or we want all that we can get, and we don't care the price that we pay, and we sacrifice freedom for bondage. Our country and all that is going through, and the people that are in it, are sacrificing freedom for bondage. I pay attention to the news, New York City, they were showing this thing. They were celebrating because there's an extreme Muslim that's going to take office as mayor in August. Extreme, who has clearly said he hates America, hates Americans, and that we need to die, and that the government needs to own everything and we own nothing, and so on and so forth. Extreme, and because these people are in such bondage, there's no freedom in them. They're in such bondage, they don't even recognize they're imprisoned. And they're just voting for someone to keep them there. And so, guys, my whole thing is that there's such a thing called freedom faith. And it doesn't matter what's going on around us. And some of you graduating, you're going to go out into the world, and guess what they're going to do? The world's going to convince you that you don't need to come to church. And the world's going to convince you that Jesus isn't real. And the world's going to convince you that you're an oddity for believing such a thing. And some of you sitting here, the world in your workforce, your workforce is convincing you that it's an oddity to believe in Jesus. They're convincing you that Jesus isn't the way. You control your destiny. You deserve better. You. And what do? Every time man gets involved and takes God out, whatever man took God out of immediately starts getting flushed. Always. You want to see something get destroyed? Put someone over it. And it's just a matter of time before he forgets who God is and serve self, especially if there's a great gain. And then there's times where we're called to die to ourselves. And when we die to ourselves because Jesus is Lord, all of a sudden we get this freedom. It's a freedom that I can't even begin to explain. And because until you taste it for yourself, you're never going to understand. I went from being a self-made man to getting saved and realizing I was horrible. And so for 30 years now, 30 plus years, I've been riding this ride with Jesus. And prior to that, I know I only look 32, but prior to that, for that 2 years, there was no filter for me. There was nothing. And I was in prison. And sometimes you don't even realize you're in prison, and you don't know you're in prison until you get out. And then when you get out, all of a sudden you got freedom. And America is that slow crock pot. We call it the frog in the pot, you know, where you throw the cold water in, you put the frogs in, and they're like, ooh, another day in the pool. And then you turn on the crock pot, and it's just a slow heating up process that they don't even realize until all of a sudden they're overcome with the heat and they die. And that's America right now. They don't understand freedom because most Christians have given up their independence in Christ to go into bondage to be a part of the world. And a lot of Christians come up to me and they're like, listen, I had a pastor tell me, I called him up, I was talking to him, met with him, because he was doing some things, and I was like, I was curious, like, dude, tell me what's going on, so that maybe I can implement that and help my people. And so he didn't know me, and I didn't know him except a mutual friend, and I called him up, and we sat down. We weren't 2 minutes in the conversation. He told me, he goes, it's okay to quit, John. I mean, I didn't call you to quit. What are you talking about? Look, man, it's been a good run for you, but you need to quit. Meaning quit being a pastor. I'm like, what are you talking about? Listen, I listen to your podcast and I've listened to your preaching, and you need to decide whether you want to reach people or if you're going to alienate them, because you preach a lot of hate. And if you want to reach them, you got to stop preaching the hate. You got to be accepting and invite and allow. I'm not going to tell you the sins that he told me, but we'll just say all the sins. Allow them to come in, because if they're not comfortable coming in, you're never going to win them. And I'm like, you want me to condone their activities so they feel comfortable and they feel safe, rather than speak truth so they can get right with God and get saved and go to heaven. And so I'm to be quiet on the word of God. That's what you want me to do? Dude, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We're going to stick to the word of God, because freedom is in the word of God. Freedom is not in the choice of man. And so when we look at this, I want to look in James 2:17 through 20, and we're going to roll through this. I can assure you, I have a sermon here that'll take me 4 weeks to preach. And since I only have an hour each week, I figure I'll just keep us here until 3. Is that I'm kidding. Don't leave. Nobody leave. I kept a lot of scripture out because I knew there was no way I was going to make it through this. James 2:17 through 20 says this: thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. And so as I look at this, I want you guys to know, because, you know, our country has been based on the word of God, and we've lived that out. Amen. And even historians were trying to figure out what made America so great. And what they discovered, they went to the workforce, they went to the neighborhoods, they went everywhere, and they couldn't figure out, like, what's the determining factor that made America so great, until they went into the churches. And when they went into the churches, they said the churches are what makes America great. Because these people believe it, and they walk it, and they live it. This is what makes America great. And if America ceases to be godly, then America will cease to be good. And we see that, you know, attendance is way down in churches. When COVID hit, I think it was like 4 million people never went back to church in America since COVID. And yet James says that if you want to see my works, You want to see my faith? Pay attention to what I do. My works don't save me, but pay attention to what I do, because I'm going to show you freedom faith. I'm going to show you where my faith is. Just pay attention to me. And so many Christians today, we can, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Why? Because, well, somebody's going to see what I'm actually doing. Don't pay attention to me. We claim to be Christians, but yet there's no life change. There's no lifestyle of Jesus. It's just a lifestyle of self-serving. That's all it is. A lifestyle. I love Jesus, but your lifestyle is completely contrary to that. I got saved, but there's no evidence of your salvation except for you said it. But to look at you, there's zero evidence. Someone once said that if you were convicted of being a, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? See, we got to walk this out. We got to live this out. And I'm just going to show you. Look here in John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Hold it right there. If you abide in my word, if you're living this out, if you're walking this out, if you're true to Jesus, people are going to see that. And so many people, you're struggling with depression, anxiety. Just go down the list. Oh my goodness, these health issues that we have, these mental issues that we have, all this going on. Why? Well, because we're in bondage. Why? Because we keep following man and we discard God. And I've had people, so many people, they say, hey, where have you been? You haven't been to church in a while. I know. There's a lot of things going on in my life and I'm trying to work through it. So the first thing you do is throw away that which delivers you. Next verse. Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This freedom faith that I'm talking about is the truth that Jesus has said, the truth of the Word of God, that which delivers us. And so many people will say, Pastor, you got it easy. You don't understand. Blah, 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 blah. Right? Because I live in the boy bubble. And they actually made that 70s show with Travolta after me, you know, because that's me. I live in a bubble. And so I don't understand. And I'm like, no, but you don't understand. What you don't understand is the only reason that I keep walking with Jesus is because I keep realizing that I am not God, and without God, I can do nothing. And then I have to make this conscious choice. I either have to die to myself or I have to serve myself. I cannot do both. If I die to myself, then I become what God wants me to be. And that serves me well. But if I serve myself, that means I'm about me and I'm not denying self. I'm not acknowledging God. And so now my walk becomes treacherous again because now I'm alone. And man left up to his own demise will absolutely destroy something or everything. Amen? It's just going to happen. Give us time. And so Jesus says, if you know the truth is going to make you free. And some of you have named it and claimed it, but you don't live it. And so you're not free. You're actually still in bondage. You are still a slave to sin. Look here in John 8:34, real quick. Did I give that one to you? If not, don't worry about it. John 8:34 says this. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not, 35, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. If you're a slave, you don't know God. If you're living in sin, you don't know God. There's no freedom. And some of you have had freedom for a long time because you're living in Jesus and you're loving life and you're so excited and you're on fire and God is so good and Jesus is so good and I can't believe, and you just go on and on and on. And then 3 months later, I'm looking you up going, where are you? 4 months later, where are you? I love Jesus, I just don't have time. That you don't love Jesus because you spend time with those that you love. And then I start finding out the things in your life, and that I'm like, oh, they're back to a train wreck again. Like God delivers them, and they're like, nope, I ain't happy. Let me hit the wall again. And we give away our freedom. We give away. And Jesus says, listen, if you keep living in sin, you're not of me. You're not mine. And just like this country, we have pushed God out. We've brought self in. And look at us. And for those of you graduating, you're going to leave the house. You're not going to be under your parents' roof anymore. Are you going to stop coming to church? Because now you got independence. You got freedom. Are you going to stop coming to church? If your parents didn't make you come to church, would you come to church? And for many of you, the answer is no, you wouldn't. Let me tell you something. You're not saved. You don't know Jesus. Don't judge me. Hush. I'm telling you facts. Why? Because that's what Scripture talks about. Listen, in John chapter 8, what we find is they were rising up against Jesus. And they're talking about, oh, we're gods. We're children of God because we're children of Abraham, blah, blah, blah. And of course, Jesus goes on. There's this huge debate. And what we find out is that they really didn't love Jesus. If you went to verse 42, don't look at these verses, guys, because I'm flying right now. But they're actually children of the devil, verses 38, 41, and 44, who refused to believe in Jesus Christ, verses 45 and 46, who blasphemed Jesus, verses 48 and 52, and then sought to kill him, verse 37, verse 40, and verse 59, all of chapter 8. But they say, I love God. You see what I'm saying? Listen, your words say one thing and your life exudes another, then your words are a lie because your life tells the truth. Our country used to be in love with Jesus. And now they're attacking the very God that gave us the freedom to make it to almost 250 years. Why? Because they left God. And there's a remnant. There's just a remnant in America today holding on to the truth, to the Word of God. A remnant. You know, God saved a remnant out of Israel too that they believe they're holding on. So there'll always be a remnant that loves God. But I'm going to tell you, that remnant is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And as generations pass, it's smaller and smaller and smaller. And some of you that are graduating, listen, you don't want to be here now. So I know when you get out, you're not coming back. It's just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And many of you, you're like, I can do this on my own because I'm free to make my own decisions. But your decisions keep enslaving you. Like the decisions that our politicians have made for our country have enslaved us. Why? Because they were bought. They believed a lie. They sought after self rather than seeking the way of God to do what is right for the people. They've removed God and brought Satan in. You don't believe me? Just look up where they won't allow a Christian to come in the library and read books, good books to children, but they bring drag queens in to read evil pornography books to children. And if the Christian dare try to get in there, they'll be arrested. But if the perverted ones want in there, the doors are open and they're escorted by the police to go in. You don't have no freedom. You think you know Jesus, but you don't know Jesus because your decisions tell you you don't know Jesus. And your decisions tell us the same thing. And who do you think coined the phrase, you can't judge me? Satan coined that phrase. Because that gives us peace and deliverance where we can keep living this life of sin because we can't judge anyone. Really? And Christians, you've fallen into this trap. You know, there was a day when Christians, true Christians, believed homosexuality was a sin. But today, because we have a loved one that's in there and we don't want our loved one to stop talking to us, we don't want this, we don't want that, what's going to happen? I love them, I love them. They had to have been born that way. No, the scripture says they chose. No, they had to be born. No, the scripture says they chose. Well, they had to be. No, the scripture says they chose sin like everyone else. And then we're like, well, forget the Bible then. If that's going to separate me from my loved ones. And Jesus wouldn't separate anyone. Jesus loves everyone. He loves everything. And it doesn't matter who it is or what they're doing. And yet Jesus said, I came to divide. I came to divide. Not because he set out to divide, but he knew that there were people who said, listen, I am Jesus's. I am saved. I am born again. And so my freedom is in Christ, no matter what's going on around me that might imprison me. And I'm going to stand with Jesus because that's truth. And I'll take the hits that come. But we don't do that. Christians are like, I'm choosing my loved one over truth. I'm choosing my loved one over God. I'm choosing my loved one because... And now give me whatever reason, and they choose to serve people or the creature rather than the creator. Romans chapter 1. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that when we look at life and we look at people and we look at freedom and this freedom faith, the freedom faith is truly being born again and understanding when the light comes on, you actually see the truth, acknowledge the truth rather than deny it. And some of you, you acknowledge the truth, but the minute you walk out that door, you deny it with every act that you do. And so you're not saved. You're not free. You are a bondservant, a slave to sin. You know, there was a time where many wanted to crown Jesus. Oh my goodness, make him king, make him king. Look at all he's doing. He's healing and he's standing up to the Romans and man, he's a stat. We want him as king, and they were demanding him to be king. You'll find that in John 6, 14 through 15, but soon they withdrew. John 6, 6, 6 or 6. 66, chapter 6, verse 66 says this. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Why? Well, because they didn't know him. John 14, 42 says that many believed Jesus said who he was, but they did not confess him because they were afraid of the peer pressure that was going to come. That's some of you sitting here today. Well, what will my coworker think? What will my family think? What will this think? So, hey, you know what? You can be so consumed with what they're going to think that you allow yourself to go to hell. I can't get saved because what will grandma think? Grandma will get mad at me. I won't go back to that church. That's what was going to get. The same thing, guys. Nothing ever changed. And Luke talked about that with the parable Jesus talked about that in Luke 8:13. It says, but the ones on the rock are those when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. They believe for a little while, and then when sin comes, they fall away. And some of you, you're in that camp. You're like, oh, I believe, I like the idea of this, I blah, 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 whatever it is, but there's no root because your salvation wasn't real. So the minute the sun came out, it scorched the roots and you died off. The minute pressure came on, you couldn't withstand it and you die off, spiritually speaking. And so you didn't get saved. There's no freedom for you. You're still in bondage. You're still a slave. James 2, 17 through 20. It talks about, don't even worry about bringing it up, guys. I don't have the time. It talks about faith, if it has no works, is dead. And then some of you got no works in your life. And people see it. You look at America. America used to be good. And then when we threw God out, America has ceased to be good. You can't have both sides of the coin and live there. Genuine faith, you will see a changed life. James 2:18, pull that up. I think I gave you that one. Some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. See, you can't, how can you believe and say you have something when there's no evidence of you owning it? It's like me saying, hey, you know what, man, I got a 2025 Corvette, the 1000 horsepower. You know, I got that. I got that. It's a beautiful, beautiful, blacked out, windows blacked out. Nobody can see me, so I can rip, so I can drive it. And man, this is a beautiful car. Tires that wide. Oh, my grip, traction. It just. And then you're like, oh, wow, that's cool. Can I see it? No. No, I keep it locked up. Well, you just talked about driving it. Well, figuratively speaking, don't. You saying I don't own that? It's right here. I own it. But it's like claiming you have something that you don't have. If you don't walk it out, you don't have it. Because if you love Jesus, you would be devoted to Jesus. If you love Jesus, there would be so much evidence. 1 John 2:19 says this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. This is John speaking of those who claimed to be a Christian. And they were all gathering, and then the pressure started building, and then all of a sudden, they started fleeing like ants. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Made manifest, made known. They were never. See, you can't lose your salvation. So if you're born again, then you're born again. If you're not, you're not. And you can pretend all you want, but I'm going to tell you, pretending will get you nowhere with God. The Bible says we have to continue in the Word. Look here in John 8:31. To go back to it, then Jesus said to these Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide, if you continue, if you stay there in my word, if you continue, then you are my disciple. But if there's no evidence to convict you of being a Christian, you're not. You're not. And Jesus makes this so clear. That if we have faith in Jesus, we continue in that. Look here, and I'm going to roll through this really fast. Matthew 12:50. This is where you got to keep up with me. Did I not give this to you? No, I didn't. I remember it wouldn't come up. Don't worry about it. I'll read it real quick. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Whoever does the will of my Father, whoever is living out for God, those are my family. John 14:15. I know you got that one. If you love me, keep my commandments. Go to the next one. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me, who is not mine, does not keep my words, doesn't live it out. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. I'm just telling you what God said, the Father said. John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you love me, you're going to live it. John 15:14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Did I give you a PowerPoint on that for friends? I think I forgot to put it in. All right. Friend literally means a person with whom one has a close bond or friendship, or to whom one is under a basic obligation. If you are close to me, if we have a bond, that's my friends, then you'll do what I asked you to do. And then 1 John 2:4-6, my last one on this. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments, doesn't live it out, that person's a liar. I love Jesus, but your life does not show that. You are a liar. You're like, you can't call me a liar. I didn't. The Bible did. He is a liar, and even worse than that, the truth isn't even in you. That's what Jesus says. That's what the Bible says. I'm just going to tell you, it's not possible to be saved without obedience. Obedience is the common thread. John 8:32, when he says that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. The truth is what made America free. The truth is what makes us free. The lack of truth is what puts us in bondage. Meaning the word of God, the things of God. Some of you struggle because the truth is you just keep train wrecking your life. For whatever reason, you're like, I know I'm in sin, but I can't quit. No, you won't quit because you love the sin more than you love Jesus. That's what it comes down to. And I know this, you guys don't like it. It may not sound good, but I guess the truth doesn't always sound good, does it? Unless the truth is someone bought me that Corvette I was talking about, and then it's going to sound really good. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father or to heaven except through Jesus. Ephesians 4:21 says this. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, him being Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And so if we hold to anything contrary to Jesus, we hold a lie. Pilate asked the question in John 18:38. Pilate asked this famous question. What is truth? Right? Many of us here, we ask the same question. What is truth? Because without truth, we stay a slave. We stay in bondage, spiritually and physically. And if you notice, America has, it keeps removing truth, take it away, get rid of the books, change history, rewrite it so that it's the truth we want to be told rather than what the truth actually is. And so we keep getting rid of truth. And the more truth we get rid of, the more we see America destroying itself. Do you notice this? America is its own pot of boiling water, and somehow America just keeps reaching down and turning up the heat. And we just keep destroying ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, those of you who are graduating, if you walk out of here and you graduate and you're no longer commanded by your parents to come to church, and so therefore you choose to leave the church, the truth isn't in you, and you're not going to know the truth, and you're not delivered by the truth, and you're not saved, you're not born again. And if you come here just to keep up a reputation or because you want to be part of the church social club, right? Because we all love one another, kumbaya, hugs, whatever, right? And that's the only reason you come. The truth isn't in you. You're not saved. And if you come here, but you don't come here expecting something from God, do you even know God to expect anything from him? I'm just telling you, listen, and Pilate's like, he's looking Jesus in the eyes. He's looking him dead in the eyes. He goes, what is truth? What is truth? Almost sarcastic or arrogantly, like, what is truth? You're like, poof. Jesus didn't do that, though. I may have, but Jesus didn't do that. And then we see that Scripture tells us, and Scripture is divine truth. And it's the revelation of divine truth to us. John 17:17 says this, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is truth. Look here in Psalm 119:160. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. The entirety of your word, every jot, every tittle, meaning every comma and every little dot, every little slash mark or hash mark is truth, every bit of it. And if you sit here and you go, well, I believe this part of it, but I sure don't believe Jonah was in a fish for 3 days and it vomited him up on the beach and he went and told somebody about God. I don't believe all that. How do you live in a fish for 3 days underwater when you're human? It's impossible. I believe it. Do you know why I believe it? The Bible said it happened. Because with God, all things are possible. See, there's a significant difference. The entirety of the word, your word, God's word, so you notice the capital Y, is truth. And John 8:32 tells us the truth will make us free, will set us free, will put us on this path of righteousness that only God can give us. It brings a spiritual truth so that when the world around you is falling apart, there's this contentment and peace within you that is unexplainable, that the world can't give you, but God can give you, is what the Bible says. And we know that freedom is multifaceted. Freedom keeps us from the bondage of falsehood and Satan, the freedom in Christ, the Word of God. Keeps us from condemnation. Romans 8:1. Look at this. I want to give you a promise so it's not all heavy. There is therefore now no condemnation. None. God is not going to convict you. He's going to forgive you if you are in Jesus Christ. If you do not walk according to the flesh. If you walk according to the Spirit. You see, because your walk shows your faith. Your walk doesn't give you faith. Your actions don't give you faith. Listen, being good doesn't get you to heaven. How good is good enough? Who knows? By whose standard? Who knows? When did you make it? I don't know. But what do we know? If we surrender to Jesus Christ, our walk is going to show that we surrendered to Jesus Christ and that we love Him. And if you don't have no walk, you have no relationship. And therefore, you have no freedom. You are enslaved. You're in bondage. We're free from judgment, John 5:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word, Jesus' word, and believes in Jesus, or the Father's word and believes in Jesus, or Jesus and believes in the Father, however you want to put it, doesn't change anything. Who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but you pass from death to life. Look at the promises, guys. We're delivered. We truly have freedom. Truly have freedom. We're free from spiritual ignorance. We're free from spiritual death. And most significantly, we're free from sin. Romans 6:22. But now, having been set free from sin, meaning it doesn't dominate our life. It doesn't consume us. Because I don't know about you, but every time I choose sin, I pay a price. Amen? And sometimes that price is higher than I can actually afford. And yet, if we're not careful, we keep continuing running up debt. Like we can afford it. And then when I go to talk to someone, I'm like, well, listen, man, Jesus is your answer for you. Yeah, because I don't have all that sin debt. How's that working for you, buddy? That's why you called me, because you can't stand life anymore. You can't afford the debt that you keep raising up. That credit card is out of sight. Jesus will pay the bill for you. Nah, I like my life. We've sacrificed freedom. But if we know Jesus, we've been set free from sin. Look here. And you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life with God. Luke 19:10 tells us that Jesus came in to liberate us, to give us freedom. Guys, we all want freedom. I don't care who you are. Every one of us want freedom. Even if you're hard left protester, you want freedom. It's just your idea of freedom isn't really freedom. Like, I don't know how they can't see that. But either way, And you know how I know that you think it's freedom and that you deserve it and you want it? Because you're protesting and you lay in the middle of the street and stop traffic. People who actually want to go to work and earn a living, those protesters will stop them. Why? Because they're in prison. Because nobody in their right mind lays down in front of a car that can run over and kill them. But in the pursuit of freedom, we're going to do that. And then be shocked if we get hurt. A lady's actually suing a police department because she a car ran her over and the police told her, you shouldn't have laid down in the road. And they say it's her fault, the police's fault and the driver's fault, not her fault, because she's exercising her freedom to be brutish. I'm just saying, Jesus said, I came to save you from you. I came to save you from Satan. I came to give you freedom. America experienced that like no other country. And if you're born again, you experience that like no other person. And if we're going to be free, and those who are set free in Jesus Christ, we have to pay attention to Paul, what he says in Galatians 5:1, and I end with this. Stand fast. Stand fast. You know, when you vote, unfortunately for the lesser of the two evils anymore, we're standing fast. When we shout from the rooftop truth, we're standing fast. When I'm up here preaching like I am, it's not to offend you. It's not to get you to think I'm full of hate. It's not to drive you out. And if you're visiting, please come back again. Maybe next week I'll do better. But I'm standing fast. And I tell people all the time, we at Connecting Point Church will never compromise truth. We're going to stand fast. And the reason that we do all of this stuff, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why in the world would I allow the world and the things of the world to come into the house of God, which is to be kept holy and righteous? Why would I allow the poison and the sin and the destruction, those things that are destroying the world, why would I allow them to come into the church and destroy the church? And you go, well, you wouldn't. You want to keep it right because it's God's house. The Bible says that my body is a temple. If I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives within me, and therefore my body is now the temple of God's. And if I'm not going to allow the evil and ugly to come into the house of God because we got to keep it holy, why in the world would I allow the things of the world to come into my body to destroy it when I need it, when I'm called to keep it holy and healthy? Because I don't know if you notice, but if I take my vitamins, I do really well. But if I were to drink and do drugs, I'd do really bad. If I use common sense and practice righteousness, I do really well. But if I act like the world and I lay down in front of cars that are coming in because I want them to stop using oil and gas, I do really bad. If I eat healthy, I do really well. If I eat poorly, I do really bad. If I consume meat, I do really well. If I only eat vegetables, I do really bad. If you're a vegetarian, the Bible says I am to give you grace because you are weaker. I like steaks. I really like steaks. No tofu. My point is, when I make good decisions, and every one of you in this room can relate, when I make really good decisions that are a benefit not only to me, but those around me, I do really well. And everybody around me does well. If I make decisions that are bad for me, then everyone else is going to be, it's going to be bad for them because they got to deal with the fallout. And that's what we're talking about, the sin, the fallout. And so I'm just going to challenge you. The reason we're free today, our free nation, is because of this. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're spiritually free, and it's because of this. If you claim this, but you walk the world, you're not saved. If there's no evidence to convict you of being a Jesus lover, then you're not. And so therefore, you're not saved. If you prefer to spend time with people in the world rather than the people of God, you're not saved. If your desire is to run the first opportunity that you have when you get away from your parents, you're not saved. If you despise the fact that you have to come to church because mom and dad says get in the car, you're not saved. Guys, my whole point in freedom faith is without faith in Jesus Christ, you have no freedom. But as long as America held on to Jesus, the Bible, God the Father, we had freedom. And as we gave up God, we gave up freedom. History proves itself. Just look. Anyone that knew me before Jesus, they would tell you, look, my father-in-law, after I got saved about two years after I got saved, he looked at me and he said, there's got to be a God. And I said, why do you say that? There is, but why do you say that? Because anybody that changed you, there's got to be a God. I'm just telling you, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that sent his son Jesus to die for you. And you'll never have freedom from your poor decisions to freedom and living in a world of chaos. You'll never have freedom if you don't have Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you, Father. Thank you for those who are here. And Lord, help us to understand that Independence Day is coming. And Father, we used to be independent because we were dependent on you. And now, Father, we're seeing our freedoms rapidly dissipating. And Father, if we just look everywhere where we used to keep you, in the schools, on the police force, in the education system, Father, in homes, in workplaces, and everywhere about, Father, in the churches were growing, and everywhere we kept you, Father, America was good, and America was strong, because we knew that our independence was completely dependent on you. And Father, as we stop being dependent upon you, as a country, we are alone. Fighting a battle, not knowing which ends up and no way to know how to win it. Father, we look at our politicians who are in office, who are supposed to be fighting for us, and Lord, they're fighting against us. Who took an oath under your name, Father, to do what was right and to stand on what was right. And yet, Father, they get in office with no intentions on carrying out that oath. And Father, it's no different than in the churches. People are coming in the church for whatever reason, but there's no intention, Father, of allowing your word to change their life. And so, Father, they leave and bring destruction, problems, issues, anxieties, whatever it is. Because they chose to be dependent upon themselves. Lord, I just pray your hand upon our country. I pray your hand upon our graduates. And I pray your hand upon each and every one of us, Father, who thinks that we are above your word, or that we can get away with what your word says we can't, or that we can do something different than everyone else and have a different outcome. Father, it's all the same. It's sin, and we're slaves, and we're in a prison without you, and there's nothing that changes that. It just looks different for different people. Father, I ask you to do a great work in our hearts and in our minds. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you do not have freedom. You are a slave into sin and bondage, and it's all this stuff that just destroying your world and putting this pressure on you that makes it even difficult to breathe sometimes. And I'm just here to tell you, Jesus will deliver you, and he'll give you life. Give you life everlasting, and he'll give you peace, peace that passes all understanding. And he'll give you wisdom, and he'll give you light, and he'll light your steps, and he'll make a pathway for you so that you will be successful in the things of him, not the things of the world. He'll deliver you. And so if you're here today and you want to put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. So if you're sitting there and you just have this desire to surrender, and you can't even explain it, but you have this desire to surrender to Jesus, then that's God moving in you. That is what saves you. And then I just asked you to pray a prayer. The prayer, the words aren't magical. The words don't save you. The words give you a timestamp to validate that moving in your heart that you can't explain. To validate God drawing you to him because he loves you and he wants to give you freedom. But it only comes through him, and it's not free. There's a requirement that we have to walk it out. The gift is free. Just like we enjoy the freedoms of America because someone else paid the price. You will enjoy the freedoms of God because Jesus paid the price. And so if you just have this desire to surrender and it's within you, pray this prayer quietly and to yourself. Jesus, today I surrender. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you can deliver me. I believe that you are everything the Bible says you are. I believe your word is truth, and that every man is a liar. And today I surrender. Today I want that freedom faith. Today I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. There is no other, and there is no other way to get me to heaven. Today I surrender all. With every head.